I'm puffed. It's been locked. Been a long time since I've been a rock star. And of course, I wanted to be one. I'm really puffed. So, imagine you're at the manger with Mary and Joseph and all those animals that are in the stables with you. And imagine that Mary let you pick up this brand new little baby. You hold the baby in your hands. You turn to Mary and say, "What's his name?" And she says, "His name's Jesus." And you go, "Oh, wow, that's a nice name. Is it in the family?" Do you know that in 1982, on the 21st of June, was born a little baby boy? He was known as Wombat by his parents, Wills by the public. This is just one child among the 350,000 other children born that day. But this child, even as a little baby, had a crazy name. Do you know who I'm talking about? This child's name was His Royal Highness Prince William Arthur Philip Lewis, Duke of Cambridge, Earl of Strathern, Barrack of Carrickfergus, Royal Knight, Companion of the Most Noble Order of the Garter, of the Most Ancient and Most Noble Order of the Thistle. My goodness, that was a crazy long name. And he's only little. He had a name, he had a massive name to live up to. The story goes that sometime later, he was talking to his mum about age 7, and he said to his mum, "I want to be a police officer when I grow up." And his brother said to him, "You can't be a police officer. You've got to be the king." This story about someone so little having a really big name, a big name to live up to, reminds me of what a guy called Isaiah said when he was talking about someone who'd come, and he gave this person a really long name. The people that Isaiah was talking to were Israelites, and they were in really big trouble. They had people attacking them. They were like slaves. They were poor, and they had no hope. And Isaiah says to them that you are a people walking in darkness, but you have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Good news is coming. And he said, good news is coming because God is going to rescue you. He's going to stop the war. He's going to break the yoke that's making you a slave. And the sign of all this happening is this in verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Isn't that a long name? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. You know, when we give people names, probably all of your names, sometimes we give them you names because we go, "Oh, that's a nice sounding name. It's got a pretty sound." Sometimes we give you names because we call you after a special person in our life, maybe a father or a mother or a grandfather, grandmother, or sometimes we give names because they have very special meanings. When the Israelites gave their babies names, sometimes they did it for all the same reasons we do. But other times they did it because they thought, this tells the story of what God is going to do. So Noah, who remembers Noah? Anyone remember Noah? Noah and the big fish, isn't it? No, it's Noah and the big ark, the big boat. But Noah was given a name called Comfort because people needed, funny enough, comfort after judgment because terrible things happened with the flood. Another guy called Joshua, his name, because they were in captivity in Egypt as slaves and prisoners, His name meant the Lord saves. That's what their mum and his mum and dad wanted, is that when Joshua grew up, that the Lord would save. Caleb. Caleb's name meant dog. And I have no idea why they called him that. It just sounds mean to call your son dog. But there must be something in it. Maybe it's a family thing. Pele, Joez, El Gibor, Abi, Ad, Sa, Shalom. That's the long name, badly pronounced in Hebrew. And through this little child's life, Isaiah said we're going to see God at work in this kind of way. So you're holding little baby Jesus. Mary says his name's Jesus. But what you don't know, and Mary probably doesn't know at that point either, as well as we do now, is that this little baby has a big name with a big destiny. He's not just going to be a policeman. He's going to be king. He's going to be a wonderful counselor, the mighty God. I like how somebody describes that term, the mighty God. He put it this way, that the mighty God is the one who has all strength and power, and God is the hero. We sung about that already, haven't we? That God is the superhero. Jesus is the superhero. Well, let me tell you about one time that Jesus was an amazing superhero. There's this man, he couldn't walk. And that's bad today, but it's really bad in Jesus' day, 2,000 years ago. Can't walk, can't get a job, you can't get paid for your food. It's a big problem. He couldn't walk. No doctors could help him. So his friends said, we hear about this person, Jesus. We're going to take him to Jesus because Jesus is good at making people walk and he's good at healing people. So they bring him to Jesus. Big crowd at the place. Jesus is teaching. So they decide to dig a hole in the roof and let their friend down in front of Jesus. That's very passionate about helping your friend, isn't it? They let the friend, this man, down, and he lies in front of Jesus. He can't walk. What does Jesus say to this man? He says, man, your sins are forgiven. He can't walk. You would have thought his biggest problem was he's not being able to walk. Turns out that the first thing that Jesus wanted to deal with is what was wrong in his life, his sins. So he says to him, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees, the religious teachers around Jesus, they stand there and think, hey, who does Jesus think he is? He can't forgive this man's sins. Only God can forgive that man's sins. Jesus knows what's going on in their hearts. So he says to them, answer me this question. Which is it easier to do? Is it easier to forgive sins, or is it easier to tell this man to get up and walk? That's an interesting question, isn't it? One is easy to say, hard to prove. You can say, I forgive your sins, but that's very hard to prove. The other one is hard to prove, easy to see, but hard to prove because you can't do it, which is make a person walk. Jesus then goes on to say, so that you know that I have authority to forgive sins, he spoke to the man and said, I tell you, man, get up and walk, take your mat and go home. And that man stood up and walked and went home. The religious rulers were right. Jesus couldn't do that if he was just a normal bloke like you and I. If he's just a normal person, that's impossible. It's impossible to forgive people's sins, and it's impossible to make somebody who can't walk, walk again. I reckon that's just one story of so many of Jesus showing that he was mighty God. And he showed us if you read through the stories about Jesus, power over nature, disease, demons. But the biggest one, most important one you've sung about today, which is Jesus going to the cross, taking on our sins, dying, defeating death. How mighty is that? And defeating sin and having power over death and being raised to life again. So, can you see how Jesus lived up to his name, Mighty God? Because Jesus is Mighty God, here's some things that are good for us to know in our lives. It means that all those heavy burdens and those worries and those fears that you think are too big for you, they're not too big for God. They're not too big for Jesus. You can bring them to Jesus. In fact, Jesus tells us to bring our burdens to him. It means that Jesus can strengthen our lives. A guy called Paul said this, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It means Jesus has power over darkness, over fear, over things that tear us down, over the devil. If God is for us, Romans says, who can be against us? It means that God is mighty enough to take all your troubles and your sin and your shame. Doesn't matter how far you feel from God, he's mighty enough to grab a hold of you and bring you back to him. And then finally, and it's not finally, there's more I could say, but God secures your eternal hope. You know that man Cliff Parkin? I had the privilege of seeing Cliff just before he died. It's one of the hard things and great things about my job is being with people before they die. And I read with Cliff, he was already not conscious, but I read with Cliff a Bible passage that Cliff loved and was very confident in. It's called John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And I'll just say one little bit, where Jesus says, don't worry about what happens after you die. I'm going to come back and take you to be with me so you also may be where I am. Cliff died with confidence that his future was safe with God. Now, you got a long way to go before that, God willing, happens. Some of us here have not so long to go. But those of us who are confident in Jesus know he's mighty enough that even our death can't take us out of the grip of his love. That's pretty important. It gives us confidence to face our sin and shame, to not run away from it, to face our worries and fears, to face up to rulers and powers, to deal with sickness, death, and even disease, and even our own death. So here's the one thing I want you to take away today. One thing, pretty easy. Trust Jesus. That's it. Trust Jesus more. He is strong, powerful. He is our hero. Trust him more. Follow him more. Live for him more. And you will, because you're in the hand of Jesus, the mighty God, you will have an amazing life. Guaranteed. In every trouble and trial, he's going to be with you. Nothing is bigger than him. He's your hero. Let me pray, and then we'll get into our last song. Father, thank you that we, at Christmas time, remember a person with a big name, a name that he lived up to. And we are so grateful that you have come to our world in the person of Jesus, and that we, as followers of Jesus, because we know we are in the hands of a mighty God who loves us and will do anything for us to bring us to him, we have lots of confidence. I pray for our children and our young people. And I pray that because they have a lot of life to go, that they will grow early in putting deep foundations down in this kind of trust. Help them trust Jesus. Now, let me be honest, it's not just the little ones here, it's all of us. I'd pray that all of us grow in trusting you more. This year has been, as they have reminded us in the skit, a terrible year. Many folk live with increased anxiety. And what we want to do, Jesus, as we face 2021, is have the confidence that comes that because we know that God is for us, he's not against us, that he'll care and attend to the things that matter in our lives, the things that we need, the things that concern us and worry us. And Lord, I pray that for us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Year sixes. Ah, yes. Okay, anyone in year six, can you come down here, please? All right, so Simon, you're going to join me here. These are our year sixes, and they are graduating from our kids' church, and they are a fine-looking bunch of people, don't you think? Now, I have written out some cards for you and have some little books for you. I forgot to write your name. But this is for you, Caitlin. And this is for you, Henry. And this is for you, Amir. And this is for you, Jethro. And for you, what's your name? Ashley. And this is for you, Emma. All right, so those books, you may not be into reading. They're not, but those books are really helpful in you growing and following Jesus. One of the things that I was thinking as I was writing out the cards for you is many of you have grown up in our kids' church. And like, you've been the smallest people and now look at you. You've grown up. And you've had a lot of years having good fun and having great teachers teach you. So we want to pray that all the things that have been put in your life might serve you well for your whole life. If Kathy is watching, so Kathy, children's pastor until this year, if Kathy is watching, we want to say big thanks to her because she had a huge impact on you. We are very grateful to Kathy for all of that. We're grateful for your teachers. And we're handing you over to the youth group. So this is Simon here, and we've asked Simon to welcome you and also pray for you.
Well, yes, we just want to welcome them and really acknowledge what Kathy's already done. And notice that this is about a circle of support. It's not just, you know, kids' church looked after them. Now it's youth. No, it's parents as well. It's community. It's family. And there's a all very, very important parts of making a foundation of faith and a flourishing life for young people. So we welcome you. We've already welcomed you. They've been going to you for about a term now, many of them. So, and they're already fitting in really well. So I'm sure that they'll be accepted into the next year. But let's now just pray, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to these wonderful once children, now young people, Lord. And we just pray for your continual work in their lives through the people that they love and that care about them, Lord. So we just really pray that you would take a hold of them, that they would continue to seek you, that they would have a bigger vision of who you are and what that means for their lives, amen. Lord. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen.
Amen. Let's just thank them and celebrate.